Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
I remember some years ago, I don't know if they sell it anymore, but a restaurant by the name of Cracker Barrel used to carry them, but in their toy department. And they had these little wooden boxes. They had plastic, actually, but it was supposed to look like a wooden box. And it was an eye. You could see a person's eye looking out from inside the box. And you turn it on. You know, it's batteries. And you turn it on. And every once in a while, if you got near it or made a sound, it would shake. And a voice would cry out from inside the box. I don't remember what it was. Huh? Someone let me out of here. Just like that, too. Just like that. Someone let me out of here. Someone let me out of here. It was shaking. Someone let me out of here. I believe that's what's going on in a lot of Christians. In their inner man, their spirit is crying out for expression. Their spirit is wanting to break out and be able to express itself in this life. The inner man, your spirit is not to be locked up and contained inside these bodies of ours. Like a seed is covered with a hard shell, but inside that shell is the potential for whatever kind of seed that is. Well, you and I are likened to seeds. And we are the offspring of God. We have been born again, born of God. And God's seed, his life, is in us. And so that means if, like a seed, we can be planted in the ground, what would begin to grow and come up out of the ground? Godlikeness, God fruit, the kind of things that God does. That's the kind of things that would grow and come out of us if we were ever planted in the ground. Well, we are spiritual seeds, and we are to be planted. In fact, the Bible says that we're to be planted, number one, in the house of the Lord. And if we'd be planted in the house of the Lord, we would flourish in the courts of our God. We are to produce the fruits of God, the fruits of righteousness. Everything he is in you and I. But we have to cause what's in us to be able to come forth out of us and not be contained inside this shell known as the outer man. And the Bible's very clear. The New Testament talks about there's an inner man, there's an outer man. There's two parts to you. There's an inner man, there's an outer man. The outer man consists of your soul and your body. Your soul is your emotions, your will, your mind, your personality, and of course your body goes without saying. And so that's the outer man. And the outer man is very much in touch with this outer world. And it lives for this outer world. And for the most part, that's how people are living their life. They're living their life from their outer man, all in touch with this outer world. And so the outer man is the one that is responding to outward circumstances and situations, whatever comes up in life. It's the outer man that's expressing himself, expressing his opinions, expressing his feelings, giving forth what he thinks and what he wants to do, expressing his own will. But inside us as Christians, those that have been born again, those who have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, those who have been made new creations in Christ Jesus. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And the part of us that's new is the inner man, the inner part of us. And we want to see this awesome new creation. I want to see this awesome new creation that you are. Yes, we want to see this awesome new creation. We want what God has created us in Christ Jesus to be, to come forth from our life and begin to express himself. Begin to live his life through this outer man. And the outer man is no longer expressing himself. He's no longer calling the shots. Everything you and I are to be doing in life now is to be happening from the inner man. And we use the soul and we use the body. But the soul and the body isn't doing its own thing anymore. The soul and body isn't out here living life and doing its own thing anymore, independently of the spirit. It's not the way it's supposed to be anymore. And we know that the outer man can live life without the spirit because we were all doing it before we got born again. The world is doing it right now. There's a whole world out there and they're not even spiritually alive. They are spiritually dead, which means their spirit is separated from the life of God. And yet they're going on about their business and they're doing a lot of things out there. Building things and making things and just going about their day, living their life. But now that you and I are in Christ Jesus, now that we're new creations, now we want to have that new creation part of us that's on the inside to rise up and dominate and control that outer man. We want that outer man to just cease doing its own thing. The outer man doesn't do its own thing anymore. Doesn't do its own thing anymore. It's the spirit that does the doing. It's the spirit that does the work in us now. And if we're living by the spirit, living out of the inner man, then we're living by the ability and strength of God because that's where God is now. He is in you and I. God is in me. Say it. God is in me. And now everything we're to be doing is from the inner man by the ability and strength of God that makes up that inner man. Everything we do now, we want a touch with our hearts, the people of the world. We want the inner man to rise up and to make contact with people. And touch people. We don't want to just give people ourselves. Ugh. I mean, that's how you should feel about it. You should just be like, oh, me? Oh, I don't like that at all. That's yucky. That's yucky. Because that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be way above that. We're supposed to be in a place where it's the new creation, full of the life of God, reaching out and touching people. Touching lives around us. It's God that's giving the utterance. It's God that's establishing our thoughts. It's God that's leading us and guiding us. And there's been times in my life where, you know, you feel like you have to say something. You're in a conversation with somebody and you feel like the outer man feels like you need to say something here. You need to do something about this. You need to speak up. I've shared the story that when we first started the church, you know, there was a lady, she was coming to our church and she had just been going through so much and she was just so tormented in her mind. But God was just slowly setting her free and breaking things off of her. But anyway, one day she was in a tormented state of mind and she called me up. And she didn't sound like she had any kind of problem. She sounded really completely normal, you know. And she asked me a couple questions. She was saying some things. And then she asked me a question about what should she do about some particular thing. What should she do? And I was on the other end of the phone. And it just got quiet. Because I didn't have an answer in my spirit. My spirit, I'm listening to my heart. And I want to answer her from the inner man. You understand? I want to answer from the inner man. I just want to answer out of my head. I don't want to answer her according to what I think. Even though, you know, my thinking's pretty good. You know, I mean, I've been in the Word of God. I know the Bible. I got some good thinking. And there's a lot of things I can throw at her right now. But I got nothing coming up out of the inner man. Nothing at all. Well, now it's completely silent on the phone. She's not saying anything. I mean, the ball's in my court. You got to answer the woman. So I reached into my theology. I reached into my bag of theology. And I pulled out some knowledge. Because I had to answer. It's getting very uncomfortable. How many know what I'm talking about? Those awkward moments. And you just feel under pressure. You got to perform here. You got to say something. People are looking to you for the answer. So I reached into my bag of theology. And I said, well, have you ever tried fasting? Or something like that, I said to her. And I no sooner released those words. And she went She got frantic and she started yelling at me. She had lost her mind, but I didn't know she lost her mind until that moment. And she just, and I just pulled the phone away. Stupid, stupid, stupid. If I just stayed with the inner man, if I just stayed with him, he knew, shut up. Because see, he knows. Because God knows. And God leads the inner man. Huh? And God knew she was setting me up. She was looking for something to be able to justify herself in her situation. She wanted me to say something to justify her situation, what she was going, how she was feeling. Well, she gave me exactly how she felt after I gave her my opinion on what she should do. See, because I didn't wait. I allowed myself to get under pressure. But I learned a great lesson that day. Boy, I learned a great lesson that day. And we've got to learn the lesson that we cannot depend on the outer man. We can't look to the outer man. We can't live life out of our mind, out of our emotions, according to our will. And folks can have a strong will. Folks can be downright stubborn about something. But we don't want to just have a strong will. We want to have a strong spirit. And actually, we want to have a broken will. We want a will that is broken and yielded over to the will of the inner man, which is yielded to the will of the Holy Spirit. That's what we want. We want God's wisdom to flow out. There's all kinds of things I could preach on tonight if it was just a matter of me putting a message together and coming up with an idea. I mean, I got notes and notes and notes and notes. I got an endless supply of notes. I can reach in, I can pull out notes, and we can preach just about anything. And yet we can't. We can't do it by the Spirit of God that way. We've got to be led by Him. We got to trust Him for the utterance. We got to look to Him. What is it? In the inner man that the Holy Spirit is leading me to do? What's He inspiring? What does He know that we need to hear tonight? He knows what we have need of. Your head doesn't know a whole lot. A lot of folks think they do know a whole lot more than they actually know. We can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit who leads us on the inside. On the inside. Sometimes you just got to get quiet and you got to get down and you got to listen to your heart. We've got to take time to wait on God, listen to our heart, renew our minds with the Word of God so that we become sensitive to the way God thinks and the way God does things. We need to develop a consciousness of spiritual things, become more spiritually minded. So that we're listening. I mean, when we first started the church, we were in the country club over there, this racquetball club, and we were in this little room, and I was just praying before the service, and you know, there's a lot of unsaved people outside the doors and things, and people on treadmills right next door and stuff, you know, they're not there for church. But I was sitting there, and I remember I'm praying, just praying, in the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of praying, and I'm really getting into it. Yeah, I'm sitting there in that front row, just praying in the Holy Spirit. We were going to have the church service in this meeting room, and I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, blah, 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 the utterance just left. There was no more utterance. And I wanted to pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, help me get ready. I'm about to minister to the multitudes in the country club in this little meeting room. And, you know, I want utterance here, you know. And so then I pushed for about, you know, just a few seconds. Shandai, randai. I mean, it wasn't flowing. And then I stopped and I turned around and somebody had come in the room that didn't know the Lord, wouldn't have understood me up there speaking in tongues and everything else. They came in the room to get something or to ask about something. I didn't know that with my head, but my heart, Holy Spirit, from the inner man, just stopped me. See? And you, with your mind, you're thinking, keep going. Why am I stopping? And then I turn around and there's the reason why. See, that's just being led by the Spirit of God. And, you know, we just always want to be led by Him. Sometimes the Spirit of God will have you do something your head tells you not to do. And right on the other hand, the Spirit of God will hold you back from doing something that you feel like you want to do and you should do. That's why we can't follow our minds, because sometimes we'll get it completely backwards. We'll get it completely wrong. We'll do the very opposite thing and cause more problems for ourselves. And that's where a lot of folks are. They're causing a lot of problems. For a lot of problems that people are having in life, they're having because they're following the outer man. The outer man, the outer life, that selfish person that lives independent of God, knows it all, can do it all, doesn't need to lean and trust and depend upon God. That one's calling all the shots, and it's causing all kinds of confusion, causing all kinds of problems. But if we'll listen to the inner man will lead us, even after you've made a mess, he'll lead you in how to clean that thing up and navigate you right around that thing. But you're going to have to be able to just be quiet outwardly. Still outwardly, and allow the life that is in you to rise up and dominate you. And a lot of folks, they don't allow that outer man to get quiet. They don't allow that outer man to sit down. And I think that's one of the tricks of the devil, is to keep us busy. Just keep folks busy. The devil can't make you bad, but he can make you busy. Being busy will make you bad. It'll make you act wrong, make you do the stupidest things. And that's why society, everything's moving so quick. Everything's moving so quick. The devil wants to keep you busy. Keep that outer man going. He's got places to go, people to see, things to do. That outer man, he's important. He's important. He don't have time to just sit down here and wait on God. He don't even have time to spend in the Word. He don't even have time to be at church. That outer man doesn't have time for any. He's so important. Everybody needs the outer man. Everybody needs you. Everybody needs your outer man. And a lot of times that's exactly how the outer man is very arrogant, though he may cover it with religiosity, although he may cover it with a lot of false humility. He's very arrogant. He's very independent. Very self-sufficient, knows it all, doesn't have time for much because he's just so important and so busy. That's the fella, the outer man, that's got to die. That's the one that's got to die. And Jesus talks about it here in John, the 12th chapter. Let's go look at it again in review. In verse 24, He says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, everybody say dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So, of course, initially, when you look at verse 24, you think, well, Jesus is just simply talking about himself as a grain of wheat. He has to die, fall to the ground, die, be crucified, and that through his death, We know that he will rise from the dead and many people will be made alive spiritually. Many people will be born again as a result of his death. He will bear much fruit, much spiritual fruit. But we know it's not limited to that because of the next verse. He flows right into he who loves his life. Now he's not talking about himself anymore. This can be anybody. He who loves his life. Everybody say his life. How many of you know there's a difference between your life and eternal life? Yeah, there's a difference between your life and eternal life. Now, when we think of eternal life, again, immediately we're thinking about living in heaven. We're thinking about heaven. He didn't say heaven. Thank God there's eternal life in heaven, but eternal life is in heaven. Eternal life is talking about the God kind of life. Eternal in that it's unceasing. And this life is Zoe, the God kind, in the Greek it's Zoe, that's the word in the Greek, Zoe, and it's the God kind of life. It's an absolute fullness of life. It's abundant life. Remember Jesus said, I've come to give them life and that more abundantly. Abundant life. So there's your life in this world. Your outer life, talking about this world, this outward world, there's an outward world and there's an outward life that hooks up with this outward world. And he says, he who loves his life, loves his outward life in this world will lose it. Why? Because you're self-destructive. Selfishness is self-destructive. When you operate in selfishness, you are destroying your life. Now, it might not look like that at first. It looks like you're just beautifying your life and enhancing your life and fixing your life and establishing your life. But I'm telling you now, the selfish life is a self-destructive life. Ultimately, you're destroying your life. Because you're sowing to the flesh. And he says, if you sow to the flesh or sow to the outward man, live by the outward man, what's going to happen? You're going to reap corruption. You're going to reap corruption. So he said, he who loves his life, he'll lose it. It's going to corrode, man. It's going to self-destruct. You're destroying yourself. You're going to cut it short. You're going to lose it. He who hates his life, in this world, again, talking about in this world, he's talking about the outer life, the self life, the life of self. He says, he who hates that life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Unceasing, absolute fullness of life, which we're to live in this life. Here on the earth, not just when we get to heaven. So he says, he will keep it for this life. He will keep it for, excuse me, he who hates his life in this world will keep it. He won't lose it. He'll keep it for eternal life. In other words, your outward life, the outward self, will now be filled with unceasing absolute fullness of life, the same unceasing absolute fullness of life that is in your spirit, that is in your inner man. So if you, in other words, what he's saying, if you want what's in you, you want the eternal life, the abundant life of God that's in you, if you want that in this life, in this world, he said, then you've got to hate your life. In this world, you got to hate your life independent of the life of God in this world, and then you're going to have the life of God in this life, in this world. Isn't that awesome? Well, it is. It is awesome. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got to hate it. You got to hate it. That's why I said before, yucky, yucky, yucky. Icky, icky, icky. Me? Just my opinion? How I feel about it? Come up here tonight and just give you my thoughts and give you what I have studied in my theology? Ugh.
Man, that is a turnoff to me. And yet people are eating that kind of thing up all the time. I mean, just they're just eating that kind of, that is great stuff. Because they love their life in this world. And they love everybody else that loves their life in this world. They're attracted to what they love. That's why the ones that love their life the most are the stars. They're the heroes. They're the ones we go crazy over that walk the red carpet. Huh? Because we love ourselves. Therefore, we love those that love themselves. But if we hate ourselves, and I'm talking about the selfish part of you. Is there a selfish part of you? Is there a selfish part of you? You better know it tonight. Yes, there is an exceedingly selfish part of you, and it's called the outer man. This exceedingly selfish part of you. That outer man, that outer life is self-seeking, self-motivated. It likes a lot of motivational speaking. Motivate me. Entertain me. Do something for me. That's what that outer man, that's what that outer man loves. But the inner man, who hates that outer man, hates it. Bible says the inner man and the outer man, they're contrary to each other. Contrary to each other. They have a mutual hatred towards each other. Yes, they do. The inner man, he hates that outer man. And the outer man hates the inner man. Both of them can't rule together. Someone's got to conquer the other. Someone's got to win over the other because they can't both win. One's got to lose his life, and the other one's got to triumph and win. And I want the inner man to win. How about you? And people that want the inner man to win, they love folks that flow from the inner man. Not everybody loves folks that flow from the inner man because they love the outer man. If you love the outer man, you want somebody that flows from the outer man to minister to you. That's who you connect with. That's how who you relate with. But you will not connect and relate with somebody that loves and flows from the inner man if you're an outer man-led person. So that tells me you are all good folks. You all love the life of God. You're all inner man folks. Because I'm an inner man pastor. And I'm only going to do it by the Spirit of God. I just want to do it by the Spirit of God. Ministry. Flowing with the Holy Spirit. I want to live my life out of the inner man. So that everything that we're doing is done by the grace of God, and God gets all the glory. That's why he says over in the book of Peter, he says, if anyone speaks, let him speak the very oracles of God, or the very words of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies. Notice that. Let him do it with the ability God supplies. You don't have to do anything with the ability God supplies. You can do a lot of things in your own ability. He says, if anyone speaks, let him speak the very words of God. You don't have to speak what God wants to say. You can speak your very own words. Right? Yes. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. Speak the words of God. Speak what God is speaking. That's who Jesus was. Jesus came here. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And he's our example. We're to walk in his footsteps. And the epistles in the Bible here tell us to do the same things that he did. Not do our own thing. What's the Father saying? What's the father? Well, the father's not saying anything. Well, then don't say anything. Well, I've got to say something. Well, don't say anything. Only say what the father's saying. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, it says, he, God, acts for those who wait for him. Again, a lot of times we're too busy, we're too much in a rush. We got to go, we got to move, we got to do something. And so we don't wait. We don't yield. We don't slow down. And so we don't see God act on our behalf. We don't see God come through us and change things. How many want God to come through for you? Then let God come through you. Let God come through you if you want God to come through for you. He's got to come through you. But he acts for those who wait for him. And if we don't honor him enough, respect him enough, and believe in him enough to just stand still and wait, then we're not worthy of him. We're not worthy of him flowing through our life and acting on our behalf. And again, how's he going to act on our behalf? He's going to do it through the inner man. That's how it's going to happen. He set it up that way. And it's just, it's the right way. Because God's worthy of that. I said he's worthy of that. Amen. He's worthy of our way. So when you believe and trust, you can rest. And know God's going to come through. He'll give me what to say. I mean, Jesus, you know, it's just such, I've used it before. It's such an awesome illustration of how, again, Jesus, he didn't say his own thing and do his own thing. He was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He was always following his inner man. He had an outer man. But that outer man never dominated his life, not for a day, not for a moment. Not for a day, not for a moment. Glory be to God. He was completely spirit-ruled. Completely spirit-ruled. He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Man, I love that. The words you speak are to be spirit and life. The very words of God, spirit and life. It's coming forth from the inner man, full of the life of God. That's how it's supposed to be for you and I. The words I speak are spirit and they're life. The outer man can't impart life to people. He can give you a good homily. He can sing you a nice tune. He can stir himself up and be flashy and showy, but he can't impart life to you. I'm talking about the outer man. There's a lot of folks do a lot of things in the outer man, and it's flashy and it's exciting and it seems important, but there's no life to it. There's no impartation of it. It's absent of God. There's no eternal life there. It's all proceeding from the outward man. But Jesus is in this situation. You know, they brought to him that woman caught in adultery, and they throw her down in front of him. They tell him, now the law says this woman should be stoned. And, of course, they're trying to set him up. If he says, yes, stone her, then the Romans can take him and arrest him for murder. Because they're not allowed to do that. Yet if he turns around and says, no, do not stone her, forgive her, then the people can rise up and stone him because he's breaking the Jewish law. So, I mean, you know, they figure they got him cornered. Either way, he's dead if he does, he's dead if he don't. And so, you know, suddenly Jesus is in the middle of teaching. They do this thing. And the Bible says Jesus just stoops down in the ground. And they're all around him pressing him for an answer. The law says this. What do you say? Are you not going to answer? What do you say? What do you say about this? You're teaching all these people how to live their life, and you're not going to answer? You're not going to tell us what we're supposed to do here with this woman who's been caught in adultery and the law says stone her? Are you going to tell us what to do? I mean, they're pressuring. And he's down here doodling in the sand. Just doodling in the sand. And I believe he's just waiting on the Spirit of God to give him an answer. Isn't that good? Think about the pressure. Thank God he didn't reach into his bag of theology. He would have got himself killed. I said he would have got himself killed. He didn't do it. He kept his mouth closed and he waited. He waited. He waited. And he got all this noise going on. Sometimes you got to wait a little bit longer. You know, the noisier it is outwardly, sometimes the
the quieter and the longer you have to wait to hear from the inner man. The longer you have to wait to hear from the inner man. And so Jesus waited, and of course then he stood up, he had to answer. Isn't that great? He who is without sin among you, let him cast the stone at her first. And then he just went back down, wrote right in the sand, and let the Holy Spirit finish what he began. That's another problem too. A lot of times the Holy Spirit gives us something, praise God, and we start out in the Spirit, and then we get so excited, praise God, we finish in the flesh. You know, Jesus, he said it, and just got back down, didn't have anything else. And in that quietness, the Holy Spirit worked. He acted, and he began to convict and cut these people in their hearts. He began to show them their own guilt and shame, and they became ashamed before everybody. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their rocks and they walked away shame-faced. And sometimes God will lead you to just not say anything. Don't say anymore. Just say that and don't say anymore. And then you know the Spirit of God's doing things. Just because you're not doing something doesn't mean nothing's getting done. A lot of times folks think, if they're not doing something, nothing's getting done. So we got to keep moving. We got to keep going. We got to keep making it happen. And meanwhile, it's like, you know, just because you're not doing something doesn't mean nothing's getting done. Maybe there's a God that's working. Maybe there's a God that's actually doing something here to make it all work out, to cause it all to come to pass. Why don't we let God come in and do some work? He wants to. I said he wants to. So if we're listening to the inner man, I believe there's a lot of things that we just won't be doing. We definitely won't be overworked. We definitely won't be overtaxed. We definitely won't be burned out. We won't be fed up and disgusted and busted. There'll be none of that. I said there'll be none of that. People burning it both ends of the stick, you know, the candle. Just burning it at both ends. Burning themselves out. There'd be none of that if we were led by him. If we're following the inner man. Because it's always so simple to God. How do you know life is simple for God? God is the author of life. Life is simple. Living it is not an issue for him. He doesn't struggle through his days. God's not trying to make it through the day. I got news for you. Life is nothing to him. It's who he is. It's who he is. We got to struggle at life. We're struggling. We're struggling at life. We're trying to live, man. We're trying to live it up. We're trying to make it all work. We're trying to make it happen. But it's easy with him. And he's in you. He's in your inner man. And so if we just follow him, you're going to find life's going to get real simple. It's going to get real simple. And, you know, I remember this time. You know, there was a time where I thought, you know, I need to be doing more. The church isn't growing as fast as I feel like it should grow. And at this point, you know, the church should be bigger. More things should be happening. That means I got to do more. So I was praying. And I remember we were in our old building behind the gun shop. And I said, Lord, I said, this is what I'll do. This is what I'll do to make it all happen. I said, I'll go out. I'll take Gene. And we'll go out to these apartments over here. And every week, once a week, we'll go up and we'll knock on doors and we'll witness to people. We'll share the gospel with people. We'll try to get people saved, get them into the church, disciple them, you know. I said, that's what we'll do. And as I'm saying it, it's like I feel how miserable that would be. That is, it's like so contrary to me. It's like I don't want to do this. But I have to do this. This is what I have to do. I'm called to pioneer this church. I got to make it happen. It's my responsibility. I got to do this. And so, you know, I'm dreading it as I'm saying. I'm saying, I'll do it. I'll get Gene, and we'll go, and we'll do it. And I no sooner finished saying that.
No sin if they're saying that to the Lord. And immediately he came back with, this came right back to me. He said, did I ask you to do that? And I answered out loud. I said, no, but it seems like a good idea. He said, you just do what I tell you to do. And I said, well, that's just so easy. And then the scripture came to my remembrance. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. See, bearing fruit isn't something that we can try to make happen. We cannot make the fruit. We cannot produce more fruit. You cannot do it. You can't do it. You, like a seed, before it can bear fruit, has to die. The outward life has to die to itself, has to die to the control, has to die and allow the inner life, the inner man, to rise up by the grace, ability, strength of God and flow out and make it happen. God's got to make it happen through your inner man. You cannot make it happen. It's got to happen his way, by his spirit, if it's going to happen right. If you're going to have the right results. Now, we can do a lot of things in the flesh and make a lot of things happen in the flesh. But when we get over into eternity, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a lot of stuff folks are going to be bringing, well, they think they're going to be bringing to heaven. It's a lot of fruit. It's supposed to be eternal. It's supposed to be something that remains. And man, they're going to step through the door of heaven and a fire is going to hit them and it's going to burn everything up. And none of their fruit's going to remain. It's all the flesh. What we're doing for eternity. Not just for the here and now. Not just for the immediate moment. We're not just looking to gratify ourselves in the flesh. We're looking to satisfy our hearts. I said we're looking to satisfy our hearts. We're looking to have a happy heart. Do you have a happy heart? You know, you can have a lot of negative things go, a lot of sad things going on around you and still have a happy heart. A happy, satisfied heart, knowing that you're in him. You're resting in him. You're trusting in him. And he's living his life through you. And there's been things that he has said to me and called me into that I still haven't seen come to pass. And the temptation for some folks is that when he gives them something ahead of time like that, plants it in their heart, speaks a word to them concerning the future, then they're going to be all about trying to make it happen. But I figured if God spoke it, God's got to do it. He's going to have to bring it to pass. And I'm not in a big rush to see anything happen. Why? Because my happiness is not in things happening. My happiness is in him. My happiness, according to the spirit, according to the inner man. Now, the outer man, he's not happy about stuff. The outer man, there's a lot of things that need to change. He's very unhappy about it. But we don't hear from him at all. He's not allowed to express himself. He's not allowed to talk to me. I don't listen to him. No, I know he's there, but he can't do anything. He's as good as dead. Really, I don't pay a bit of attention to him. He can't get my attention. He can't even get my attention. Look out here! Look out here! I pay about as much attention to him as a bird flying over my head. I'd probably pay more attention to the bird flying over my head than what the outer man is yelling. Panic, hurry up, you got to do something about this. Shut up. You'll be recognized. The outer man will start screaming. He says, panicking. You got to do something fast. You got to do something fast. And if he gets real panicky, he just pushes me down on my knees. That's all he does. He just forces me to go down on my knees and get quiet and doodle in the carpet and just get down there with God. That's all he does. He just drives me to my knees. Whenever I actually start hearing him, because I don't hear him a lot. But when I do start hearing him, when he starts crying out and panicking and expressing himself, and I recognize he's getting a little mouthy. He's getting a little mouthy. I feel a lot of opinions flying through my head right now. This is not good. And when that starts happening, I know what I got to do. I got to do some praying. I got to go over here. I get closer to God. And I just got to, just tune in that much more to the inner man and raise the volume of the inner man. Just totally block him out. Block him out. Just crank up the volume on the inside. Yeah, the outer man's going, blah, 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 blah. And you just got the outer man blasting. Just blasting. He shall not eat, la la ma se. Ki la 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 ma so le ku na na ma yehu. Just enjoy. Just enjoying the inner man, expressing the inner man. If the outer man starts getting a little antsy, start expressing the inner man. Shut him down with the inner man. Get louder from the inside. And you could do that praying in tongues, singing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise God. And as you're praising God and magnifying him, it just blocks out all that noise. The noise of the outer life. The noise of the outer man. Can you say amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People want to live their life out of the inner man. Oh, glory to God. That's how we've been created to live, folks. That's how we get to live now. Let's turn him loose. Turn him loose. Let him play. Let the inner man flow, man. Come on. Cause that inner man to get up and shout. Praise God. And that's a part of that breaking of that outer shell. We can break the outer shell and cause the outer man to break out, break forth by shouting and praising God. And we'll close with a scripture. Is that okay? Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break. Everybody say break. Break. I said say break.
Break.
Yeah. Break forth. Break forth and shout. You who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Things may look desolate. Things may look pitiful. According to the outward, but glory be to God. Let the faith of God that's in your inner man rise up and break. Break through that outer shell. Break through that outer man. Just like the life in that seed needs to break through the outer shell of that seed. Break forth, break forth. Glory be to God. How can you break through? How can you break out? How can you cause the inner man to come forth? Rejoice and shout. Ha! Hallelujah. Break forth, glory be to God, and shout. Ki la la masate. I said, ki la la masate. Break forth and shout. Shouting, rejoicing, and praising God from the inner man weakens the outer man and causes him to have a nervous crack up. He starts to crack up. He starts to break. Break him of his control. How can you break the outer man of his control? Shout. Rejoice. Praise God. Now, sometimes, you know, you got to prime the pump because you know it's in there. And so you just start doing it. Just start doing it. Just start doing it. Maybe just an ounce of faith. Just an ounce of faith that you can squeeze out of there because that's all that's going to shell is so tight. It's been a long day. You've had a rough day. I know you've worked hard today. And so things are tight, but that little ounce of faith that's squeaking its way out. You just grab a hold of it. Hallelujah. 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 And you're 99.9% more conscious of the outer man than the one you're praising. And that makes it hard. But you keep going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout to God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You're a good Jesus. You're a good Jesus. I wonder how I look to everybody. I hope I seem okay. I hope I'm not too loud or obnoxious or I look real spiritual. I don't know how. See, the outer man's doing all the thinking, you know. You got all the outer man feelings and opinions and all the discomfort that the outer man feels when it comes to God. Hallelujah! It's kind of awkward. Hallelujah! Yeah, it is awkward to the outer man, but we're breaking through him. We're breaking through it. Oh, 2%. 3%. Now, praise God, we're about 95% there. It's not 5% there, praise God. We're 95% self-conscious. Self-conscious. But 5% God-conscious. Thank God. That's the inner man. That little God-consciousness right there, that 5%, it's God. It's the inner man. Keep exercising him. Keep exercising. Oh, hallelujah. God's good to me. He's brought me a long way. When I think of the Lord and what he's done for me, when I think of his goodness and how he set me free, oh yeah. Cracking. It's cracking. Praise God. We're getting more conscious of him. We're getting more conscious of the one we're praising. Praise God. You see, you keep going. You keep going. And next thing you know, it's revival. It's revival. The outer man, you don't even care about yourself anymore. You don't care what you look like. You're spinning around. Your saliva's flowing. You don't care. You're like a drunk person. And you're just, you're making a mess. You run up to the altar. You start spinning around. You go running hallelujah around the room. What happened? You lost sight of yourself. You got lost in God. You lost your life in this world, and now you're keeping it for eternal life. Now you're experiencing eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. And those poor outer shells that walk around calling themselves Christians, you know, there's just a lot of folks that are just outer shells. I was walking along the beach recently, and I saw these shells, and the thought came to me, as surely as beaches are full of empty shells that were once creatures of the sea. They're now just empty shells. There's a lot of churches that are littered with empty shells of what was once new creations. It's deep. You lost your joy on that one. I'm sorry. But anyway, so these shells. There's many shells that litter the church world today. And it's just shells. It's just shells. There's nothing inside. There's no inner anything. And when somebody loses it and they forget about themselves and they lose their shell and they come out and they run and they shout and they express the inner man, they look and go, how disgusting, how irreverent, how horrible. This is a church. This isn't a circus. Because they're just a shell. And they seek to please the outer life and hate the inner life, even though they teach it. They hate the inner life. They hate the inner life. I love the inner life. I love folks that love the inner life. I get excited when folks lose themselves, praise God, to the Lord. They get lost in his presence. They lose their carnal mind. Glory be to God. Nothing matters anymore. All the pride is gone, and all they want to do is shout, run, and do whatever God wants them to do in life. Hallelujah. That's the kind of crowd I'm running with. Amen. Praise God forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for the word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for helping us tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.